From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Jonathan Hammond is a teacher, energy healer, somatic practitioner, and spiritual counselor, a graduate of Harvard University and the University of Michigan. He is certified master teacher in shamanic, as well as the advanced graduate study advisors for the shamanic Reiki worldwide. Teaches classes in shamanism, energy healing, spirituality, and Huna at the Omega Institute and around the world. And his book is called Tonight That We're Talking About, The Shaman's Mind. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Aloha, George. It's nice to be with you. Aloha from Maui.
You too, my friend. Were you at the University of Michigan when Bo Schembechler was the coach?
That name rings a bell from a long time ago. But yes, I believe I was.
He was one of those great football coaches. It's a great university, and Ann Arbor is a wonderful town. And Detroit's my hometown.
Oh, I'm from Mount Clemens originally.
Well, are you?
Yeah, I'm a Michigan boy.
You get back there? Any family?
No, everyone moved. So I haven't been back. Once I left and then went to school in Boston and then had a life in New York City, everyone has since moved. So I haven't been back. It's been years now.
My mom and sister are still out there. She's going to be 95 next month, Jonathan.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
It really is. Tell us about yourself. How'd you get involved in shamanistic work?
I was years ago. I was an actor in New York. I was a Broadway actor, and I thought that I had that I was diving into spirituality just to kind of traverse the difficulties of show business, because it was, you know, as you know, I think you have you've been around show business as well. It's just a very tough field, and so it was just a. And spirituality just felt like something that I needed to just support. And then it just ended up taking up bigger and bigger space in my life. And I had sort of the terrifying realization at a certain point in my late 30s that I'm going to leave, what was a kind of successful career behind and go into healing work full time. And shamanism just spoke to me because it's a very dropped in spirituality. It's very connected to the material world, to our material lives. I also am a huge fan of nature and I've had really amazing experiences, in nature, even peak experiences in nature. And so shamanism really became my path. The earth-based traditions really became my path rather than something formally religious or even a religious system. It's really about tuning into how we can all individually be more natural, how we can be more like the same way in which the trees and the plants and the animals are unapologetically themselves. I think we all have healing to do to find that instinctual essence in us that that will ultimately be the way in which we're unapologetically ourselves. And I think that's the journey of shamanism. And I think it's good medicine for today, because today is so about pulling out of yourself and into someone else's rules and someone else's paradigm and someone else's story, rather than your own. So it's about coming back to something of the earth and of ourselves that's instinctual and our true essence.
Did you teach yourself these shamanic principles, or did some shaman teach you?
Oh, no. I worked with shamans on four different continents, South America, Mexico, Latin America, stateside as well. There are some wonderful American shamanic teachers. And then I really, I found myself, I kept coming to Hawaii, and it was just very drawn here, and then found the Hawaiian shamanic tradition, which is called Huna, which I'm sure we'll talk about tonight. And that was really eye-opening for me. The Hawaiians, I'm also, in addition to being interested in shamanism, I'm very connected to psychology. I would say that's what I do for a living. I'm a spiritual psychologist. And the Hawaiian tradition is actually, the Hawaiian shamanic tradition is actually quite psychological. That's the reason why I called my book about the Hawaiian shamanic tradition, The Shaman's Mind, because it is about attuning about these Hawaiian ideas that are very simple, but attuning to them with discipline and letting your own version of a shaman's mind come out of you. So I found that it helped me understand how shamans think, and that came from Hawaii. And I ended up so called that it was time for me to move here. So I've been living on Maui for about 4 years.
How is Maui since the fires?
It was really harrowing. I live about a 30-minute drive from Lahaina. It was very sad. The hardest part for me, as someone who was so passionate about ecology, what was hard for me was that afterward, I was so disheartened to not hear conversations about. I heard lots of conspiracy theory conversations that this was, you know, Chinese laser beams and aliens and government conspiracies, but I wasn't hearing much talk about fire and air and human error and diverting water away from Lahaina. Lahaina used to be was considered the Venice of Hawaii. There were all these natural fresh water springs and waterways, and over 100 years ago, they diverted a lot of that water away to grow sugarcane, and the town was just very dry. And it's an old town, and so it was like this little, old country tinderbox. And then there were uncharacteristic winds that from a hurricane over 600 miles away that were so strong here that once there's a spark, it was like, I have a firefighter acquaintance, and he told me that imagine a 50-foot horizontal flame and then wind so strong that it takes that horizontal flame and brings it a vertical frame and brings it horizontal and pushes it. So it was just like it was just a perfect storm, quite literally. And the one thing that I just didn't get a lot of airplay, except from the native Hawaiians who kept asking about ecological policy. I'm in a very delicate ecosystem. I live 30 seconds from the ocean, and as the earth moves out of balance, these kind of extreme situations present themselves. And I think it's a really important conversation. So when it happened, you know, I kind of had a moment of, you know, sort of existential dread. And then I just thought, you know, this is what you do for a living, Jonathan. You're here. It's, you know, this the ecological crisis is touching you. And it really, it focused me in my work even. And it was something that was really motivating for me. So it's still hard. There's still a lot of people in hotels and vacation rentals or people who've left the island. They are rebuilding. There is definitely a sense that that's happening. You know, extreme weather is a thing. And I think we have to address it. And again, that's so much about my call to the earth-based spiritual tradition, because we are revering quite literally the earth rather than just treating her as a storehouse for what we need, and that we are supposed to be in relationship with her, she's not here just for us. We're in it with her. There are everything in nature is an agentive being, just like we are, and we have to recognize that. We have to recognize that that we're out of balance. I'm doing a lot of research for my next book and my next class, and there's so much ecological evidence about pandemics happening because of, not solely, but pandemics happening because of ecological disturbances. That you know, when you move certain animals out of their normal habitat,
their environment,
you know, yeah. So it's hard, but it's still Maui's still paradise. It's just she's just a little hurt, but she's gonna make it.
I'm glad you're okay.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When I was younger and I heard the word shaman, I would always think of a medicine man, but it's much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, a shaman is a healer, a healer that holds the community and holds the community in relationship to nature. Shaman is a healer of relationships, the relationship we have between our mind and our body, the relationship we have between ourselves and others, the relationships between others and others, and the relationships between everyone and the planet. And and usually there was, in indigenous cultures, someone was identified, it's a hard path, because usually identified through either illness or some sort of trauma. That's usually how one became a shaman. I consider myself a shamanic practitioner. I'm certainly not a shaman. And I think that word is, I can leave that alone, and because I think it's culturally loaded. But it's also someone who recognizes that there is a spiritual component to healing. That I often say that if you break your arm, you go to the doctor and they set your arm. If you break your arm, you go to the shaman and you ask the question, why did I break my arm? And I think the shaman is about physical healing, but also the metaphysical aspects, the energetic aspects, even the hidden aspects, the unconscious aspects of what needs attention in us.
Who taught the shamans, John, or did they teach themselves?
Nature, and there's research that, you know, there's something called the shamanic journey, and a shamanic journey is where it's actually very simple and easy to do. We actually all kind of did it as children, but it's where you attune your mind with, let's say, an animal or a plant or something like that, and you begin a kind of dreamlike conversation, and you learn from this being in nature. And in early cultures, when language started developing, one of the things that the medicine men and women realized was that because humans now have language, they can live in mentally constructed worlds that are away from the organic here and now. In other words, humans could start lying and telling stories and pulling away from what's actually true. There is something called a universal truth in the here and now. And so the shamanic journey was actually one of the reasons why it was developed was to keep attuning to that which would not turn on itself, which is everything in nature. It's only humans that tell ourselves stories that we're something other than what we are. The dandelion or the lion or the shark doesn't. They just are unapologetically themselves. So it was nature. It was nature. It was their attunement with nature, and I think their attunement with the spiritual realms. The spiritual realms are you know, as real as the rainforest from a shamanic perspective. So I think it was that, and I feel very much now, you know, after, you know, having done so much study, that on some level it's the energies that are my teachers now. They it's the energies and just tuning into the consciousness of the planet, tuning into the and cultural consciousness that are and certainly, you know, wisdom and reading and all of that. But they learn from the land. They learn from the land. The nature has a lot to teach us, and we take it for granted.
As we get into the various aspects of shamanism, Jonathan, can people generally do for themselves to make themselves better people?
Well, a couple things. I think that we all have a unique gift, and I, this isn't hyperbole. I really, not only do I believe this, but I see it in my practice. I have a very full private practice. We all have a unique gift. We all have a purpose. And what I mean by purpose is how our individual existence in some way serves or touches the collective. Doesn't mean that we're all activists, doesn't mean that we're all even necessarily healers, but there is some special sauce in all of us. And so often that is unique and maybe is contrary to what we've been acculturated into, either what our family told us or what the culture tells us is right or possible for us. And so I think it's about one, finding that purpose. Because when you do that, you're you're in the same kind of flow with nature, because that nature is that's what nature's doing. If you just think of you know, a plant, it has a instinctual appetite and sense of growing beyond itself. It's connected to a community. It's it wants to reach its highest potential, and it does that unapologetically. It's wildly interested in that which will help it do it, and wildly disinterested in that which won't. And I think that we're more like that. And I think that when we identify that purpose, that helps us align with those energies that are in us. So we might have healing or personal investigative work to do about who we actually are, not who we are told to be, or who we are based on what how we want people to think of us, but who we actually are. And with that, then we start giving our gifts to the world. So I would say that we really do all have a gift to give, and we are all really in this together. And my kind of a general cultural sort of advice would be to be curious about the person who doesn't look like you, or doesn't live life the way you do. Be curious about that. Right. There actually may be, it's not about you becoming something that you're not, but it's about recognizing that the only way we're going to traverse what's going on right now, this sort of massive shift in consciousness, is through empathic understanding. And I think right now we're in a kind of battle between narcissism and sociopathy and freedom. And I think that, or authoritarianism and freedom. I think that's sort of the battle right now. And with freedom, comes a sense of community, comes a sense of, reconnection with the earth, you know, and the true recognition that separation is really an illusion. It's just, we are all just part of one organism. We are all just cells in one giant organism. And if we can tend to our own individual cell and make it healthy and well on behalf of the organism, we're doing our part.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.